Welcome back, everyone, to Master of the Universe podcast. Joey Cage here with Christopher, motherfucker to the max, Jay. How's it going tonight, man? How you doing?
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Today, we're going to be talking about Halloween 4, the return of Michael Myers. And before we get into the film, quick shout out to everyone. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hey, we had 103 fucking subscribers, and most of them were just this past, like, 2 weeks since we were uploading the Halloween series. So thank you guys if you've subscribed. If you're new to us, subscribe on YouTube. We're on YouTube if you're not listening to us on YouTube. We're on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. So if you're if you like to listen to those on different platforms, you can check us out.
And Google Podcast,
that's right. And our artwork, giving a shout out to ManBeast01, did our Mum Raw there. You can find him on Instagram. It's ManBeast01. Gabe Rodriguez, he gets over like a son of a bitch, does a lot of badass artwork, so we're always thankful for him. But when we get back, we're going to go ahead and get into the film that is Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
10 years ago, on the night of October 31st, a small Midwestern town fell victim to an escaped killer. Under the cover of darkness, he carried out the most horrifying mass murder on record. 16 people in cold blood. Ever since that night, no one has forgotten his name. And Halloween has never been the same. Now, Michael Myers has come home. He has returned for one more night of unholy terror.
Michael!
Somebody help me!
He's here to kill that little girl and anybody who gets in his way.
Oh, God!
Who's gonna be next?
Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Maybe nobody knows how to stop him.
On October 30th, 1988, Michael Myers, who has been in a comatose state for 10 years since the explosion at Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, you may remember that from part 2, is transferred to Smith's Grove Sanitarium.
Leave me be!
Upon hearing that he has a niece, Michael awakens, kills the ambulance personnel, and makes his way to Haddonfield. Michael's former psychiatrist, Dr. Samuel Loomis, learns of Michael's escape and gives chase. He follows Michael to a gas station, where he has killed a mechanic for his clothes, along with a clerk, and disabled the phone lines. Oh, surprise, surprise. Michael then escapes in a tow truck and causes an explosion, destroying Loomis's car in the process. Loomis is then forced to catch a ride to Haddonfield.
So, Halloween 4 was released October 21st, 1988. The other one was released the same day. What was it, October 21st or 22nd, right? The prior film.
The prior film was the day, part 3 was the day before I was born. And then This one here, fucking 6 years later, is 2 days before I turned 6.
Yeah, so released in 88, so it still has that 80s vibe to it. It's, of course, Donald Pleasance is back. We have Danielle Harris playing Jamie, who is the niece that we were talking about. And then we have Ellie Cornell playing Rachel. There are main people in the film, dude. So, I mean, you know Michael Myers coming back. Were you hyped up when you heard the return of Michael Myers after going through part 3?
Oh, I was. I absolutely was. I was like, okay, let's see what they do with this. And knowing in the back of my mind that oftentimes sequels with the same killer can kind of get watered down, but I'm pumped at the same time because I like the character so much. But, I mean, it's kind of, in retrospect, I do kind of kick myself a little bit because the concept of a different story and different characters every Halloween movie, but all taking place on the date Halloween, October 31st, All Hallows Eve, call it what you will, that's not a bad idea either. If you think about it, that was the, like we've said before, it was the original Are You Afraid of the Dark? And for those people born after 93, Are You Afraid of the Dark was a show on Nickelodeon on Saturday nights, and it was just kids sitting around telling scary stories. It was fucking great. But
great show. I love that one. We'll probably do, when we run out of horror movies and Tales from the Crypt, we might do an episode what the fuck is it called? Are You Afraid of the Dark here and there? Probably won't run through the whole series, just like some of the good ones, because those are great for a kid, especially a kid that's into horror movies and horror shit. So, yeah, big fan of that series.
And can I point out, too, in this one, a lot of people don't really know the backstory. And the Wikipedia page for this movie does not give it justice. So, in the vein of staying with a different story and different characters every Halloween movie, the original, there's three versions, three renditions of a screenplay for Halloween 4 is what it was going to be called. The very first one was a ghost story, and I don't know any details beyond that. I looked, and I could not find it, but then again, I didn't spend a fuck ton of time looking.
Mm-hmm.
But the whoever's in charge, I don't remember who it was, saw the screenplay and liked it at first, but then he read deeper into it, and he was like, oh, this is ridiculous. He told that Dennis Estridge or Dan Tridge or whatever guy, he said, this is so dumb. He's got a ghost having sex with someone on the beach. That's ridiculous.
The fuck?
So... yeah, I know. I mean, even I think that's crazy. And then and then the second screenplay was that Dennis Estridge, whatever. He wrote a story that was very cool. It kind of hints at it being Michael Myers, but doesn't outrightly say it. But it's Tommy Doyle and Lindsay, who would remember they were the kids being babysat in the first one.
Yeah.
Well, now they're like high school seniors, or maybe they're 19 or 20, whatever, 10 years later. And the town of Haddonfield has shunned Halloween. Like, remember in Freddy vs. Jason, everyone was not allowed to say Freddy Krueger because they were trying to forget him so he wouldn't come back? Well, this town had done away with Halloween. You don't say it, you don't mention it, no costumes, no giving out candy, none of that. But the next county over didn't have that ban, so all the teenagers and early 20s kids would go to a Halloween party there. But as they're doing dumb things, like they're going out and buying pumpkins at a pumpkin patch, they're getting ready for the party, all this stuff, and all this whole time, this shadowy figure who appears to be carrying a blade is stalking them.
I had heard. I mean, I don't know the stories like in detail or in depth, like the way you know right now or you read about. But I know that like John Carpenter came up with like an idea. I think his was the ghost one, and then yeah, Mustafa Akkad or whatever, the producer that's been in all of them basically. That basically John Carpenter's ideas like they didn't like, so he was like, well, fuck it, I'm not gonna do this shit anymore. And he sold off his rights, and him and Deborah Hill, his wife, they sold off their what they they had over the prior three films, and then Mustafa had it and ran it to the ground after that, according for me at least. But yeah, that's basically what I've heard is that Carpenter had an idea and they didn't like it because it was too kind of like Scream or meta, I guess they use the word meta, where it seemed to kind of like cross realities almost, where this is the real life and kind of shit like that.
They break kayfabe in the middle of the
movie,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the whole movie. But it's 10 years after the original, and I mean, where can you go from here? The thing is, after looking into it, this film and even the other one, I was kind of criticizing certain things. And I'm like, well, they do that in the first one, so I can't really say it because they do. Michael Myers may act like this or do certain things, but I guess the way it was, you could do the same things, but how you present it may cause some issues. Like, I was laughing at how, like, well, not this one, we'll get to it in part five, how Michael drives around and how he's driving. And I'm like, well, Michael drove a car in the first one a lot too. So,
apparently somebody has been giving him lessons.
Someone's around here been giving him lessons. So I was like, well, I can't really criticize him for looking like a jackass driving. He did the first one, but it was also, you didn't really see him driving. We just saw like his point of view. But anyway, this film, dude, it starts off, that's right. He got like all burnt. He's in the hospital. And I was laughing when that one dude, he's like from Rhode Island or something like that, that one, the guy, the security guard, Yeah, and he's like, they, you know, they're going to do, of course, just like the first one, they're transferring Michael Myers out of the hospital. And, you know, he's been, you know, in a fucked up, what, comatose state or whatever the fuck for 10 years. And after that explosion or whatever, and one of the doctors that's transferring him, he's like, Jesus, sir, you know, whatever. And he's like, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with this place. Yeah. And he's there just talking about it. Like, and I was laughing because, of course, I always watch reviews after I've watched it. And, like, some guys are like, for those of you that didn't watch the first two movies, you know, this guy gives you the breakdown. It's all like, and then his doctor shot him 6 times. And he's, like, telling the whole fucking story. And I was like, I was laughing. I'm like, oh, my God. So this is how we're doing things now, you know. And
I'm sorry to talk over you. It's just that line popped me as much as it popped you, that Jesus ain't got nothing to do with this place.
No, you're fine, dude. Yeah, I was just like, this guy's going to talk about it the whole time. And it's just funny, you know, like, and I enjoy it. Even though this film is, it's nowhere near has the tone for the first three films. You know, it's kind of like one of those, you know, just, we know that this is kind of ridiculous that Michael Myers is still alive. And he's, you know, so let's just make, you know, make the most of it. And it's just, to me, like, funny because they're there. And they're like, does he have any family, when they have Michael and the, you know, they have, of course, two nurses, no guards, the guy that just, you know, killed all these people, and he's there, like, and they have no security for him or handcuffed or anything, or at least I don't think he is. He might be handcuffed or whatever. And they're like, oh, he has a niece, you know, back in at Haddonfield or whatever. They start talking, and they're like, that's enough to wake up Michael Myers from this, you know, this state, you know. And, you know,
they gave him some kind of sedative in the hospital. Like, she had that liquid IV going into him, and his hand just fucking dropped. Yeah. So, I mean, unless he's, in theory, his character was working the nurse to make them think they sedated him when they didn't.
Yeah.
Or, because the Wikipedia page says that, and every other page too, they all say what woke him up was hearing that he had a niece. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the thing is, I heard them talk about that, and I didn't make that connection. To me, they could never mention the niece, and it still makes sense for him to do it because that's the kind of menace he is.
Well, like, you know, it's funny we're talking about it. We almost, you know, skipped over the most over actor, dude. Dr. Hoffman, the trainer for Drago in Rocky IV, Michael Patakai,
Pataki, like the governor of New York.
That motherfucker. Yeah, I was like, every time I saw him, I was waiting for him to say, whatever he hits, he destroys, you know. He wasn't his trainer, but he was like his manager, right? That's what he is or whatever. But
He was his spokesman because he's English language. Like, you can box, yes, but Drago should not even be in the ring with this man.
Yeah, because he is a high speed. And, yeah, so he's in the film playing a doctor, and he's kind of keeping it on the down low. He's like, where's Loomis? He's like, well, hopefully after this, like, he either retires or die. He says some fucked up shit. And that's when Loomis comes back after Michael's broken out and, you know, how come I wasn't notified about his, you know, transfer and all this and that. And they're all kind of in denial that Michael got away and broke free from everything. And, of course, we know because the ambulance looks like all hell broke loose and it's in the river. And, yeah, so after that, he hitches a ride back with that one motherfucker that comes out on Pee Wee Herman. You've seen Pee Wee Herman when he takes that train, like wherever the fuck he's going, and he's like asleep with the homeless.
That was years ago.
Yeah, well, it's that same old guy. He kind of looks like Crazy Ralph too, a little bit.
Oh, you're talking about Loomis getting the ride in the truck. Oh, that guy. When I was a kid, and probably you too remember this, like every fucking 90s sitcom, he always played either like a Frank talking old man or an indigent homeless person, or so he always played that type of character. Every sitcom.
He's like really famous in the 80s. Not super famous, but he was in a lot of shit, basically. You know, he was in a lot of bullshit, that one dude.
Jack Sayre.
Is that his name? I don't know his name, but
Reverend,
yeah.
He's a Reverend Jack Sayre. And that character, this is another disappointment of mine, because, you know, I had a lot of critiques of this movie. Overall, I don't think it's bad, but I had a lot of critiques of it because there's right there between Pataki and that guy, Reverend Sayre. That's a character, especially Sayre. That's a character who could have come back later in this movie.
Oh, I would have loved him for him to be in the movie. Oh yeah, and then he was also in Wayne's World 2 as old man Withers when they unmask him, dude. Yeah, old man, it's old man Withers. But yeah, I mean, that's one of those things to, I mean, it's not a detriment to the film, but it's like one of those things that had they brought him back, I think it would have made the film just that much better. Small critique, but yeah, I'm like, this guy was literally in the film for like a minute or so, and I'm like, I want to know more about him. You know, he's like, you're hunting it, aren't you, mister? You know, or some shit. Yeah, he's hunting it. You know, like, you know, I saw when you walked in here. He said, what are you referring to? Whatever. And then he started, you know, like just two crazy maniacs that are getting along, like you and Ray, dude. Like,
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, just two lunatics that understand each other, dude. You know, one's a little bit more afraid of the other one just because he's, you know, got a fake profile and shit. But, yeah, I enjoyed the fuck out of his shit. But, yeah, we meet Jamie Lloyd, who's the daughter of Laurie Strode. And, like, I didn't know they named her Jamie because, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is like a nod or whatever. But, yeah, so she's the niece. And she's got a foster family. And, like, they just kind of, like, I know you had said, you're like, I don't know if she was having dreams. Because they really don't follow up with it the entire film. But she's been having nightmares about the night. She calls him the Nightmare Man or some bullshit of Michael Myers. But she doesn't know what he looks like. But she's been, you know, dreaming about him because they have some kind of, like, some kind of mental connection or whatever the fuck. And so, like, she's been seeing him in her room and all this and that. And, like, I'll come to, like, really sing Rachel's praises later on and shit. But the beginning of the film, like, she just comes off like, oh, you know, like, she doesn't like Jamie and bullshit. She's like, Rachel, do you love me? And she's like, oh. You know, like, just like, oh, why are you asking that? Because, you know, she's, like, scared, had these nightmares and asking if she could, like, she loves her. And, like, she's just like, oh, my God. And she makes Jamie feel like shit basically the first 30 minutes of the movie when they find out the babysitter, something happened to her. And then they ask her, Rachel, to babysit her. And she's just like, oh, well, you just ruined, you know, your granddaughters and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what a bitchy-ass character.
I know. It's like one high school date is, like, completely ruins your future. And I feel sorry for you. You know, it sucks when you're in high school. And you got them hormones going, stuff, and you want to date, and I mean, it's something happens and it doesn't happen. That sucks. It pisses you off, and you worry and all that stuff. But I mean, that, like, to go to that extreme about it. But yeah, something happened with the babysitter, like, broke her leg.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And, well, can she bring the crutches here? Like, the mom was saying on the phone. And and I mean, you got to think too, when you're a teenager and, like, you got someone, you know, kid 10, 9 years younger than you, you don't have a whole lot of patience for that unless you're just one of those naturally nurturing girls. Address this with the character Jamie here, because when it's time and Big Foster sister puts her to bed and says, hey, you know, I do love you, and hey, when we wake up, we'll have blueberry pancakes, and tomorrow after school, I'll take you for ice cream.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. That sounds pretty good. I'll take blueberry.
Every movie's got to have blueberry fucking pancakes. Like, Pulp Fiction's got to have the wife of Bruce Willis got to have blueberry pancakes. But but the thing is, so they wake up. Or she goes to the bedroom, right? Doesn't wake up. She goes to the bedroom. You don't see her lay down and close her eyes. There's no reverberation on the speech like movies and TV shows will do to indicate a dream. Mm-hmm. There's no fuzziness on the screen, you know, dissolving effect. And there's nothing that tells you or indicates to – there's no indicators to the audience this is a dream.
Well,
you don't see, you
know. I have to agree because it says she has a nightmare, but it's like almost like she's like hallucinating, you know?
That is the more appropriate thing, but even that, like, that's left to interpretation once you've seen the whole movie. Then you say, oh, okay, she was hallucinating.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I don't know that she's hallucinating or dreaming or call it what you will. I see her in her bedroom, eyes open the whole time. If you will. Yeah. And I see, fuck, all of a sudden, here's fucking Michael Myers, and right away, I checked it. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? They're going to have him fuck with someone main major to the story this early on.
Mm-hmm.
In face-to-face person, she can see him. She sees who he is. She probably knows who he is. She saw the ambulance outside the window earlier. It's like, you're already making him kind of touch. Like, I checked out when I saw that. So that hurt it.
Yeah. No, I was laughing because you know, we talk about it for the viewers. It's like, we'll talk about it, or we're thinking, so we know what to like touch upon or whatever when we're doing these shows. And you know, I had seen part four like when I was really young, like I mean 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, 20 years ago basically, right? So he's telling me, you know, and I'm really good, I'll tell you, like, oh, I remember all the Nightmare on Elm Street, 'cause I've seen them 1,000 times or whatever, but the Halloween films, I never really watched any of them, but the first one, like, a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, was not really a franchise for me. But so when you're telling me this, I'm like, what? Michael Myers is in her bedroom in the beginning of the film? I'm like, you're like, yeah, she's like, he's already in the beginning of the film, like, frightening her. And I'm like, what the fuck? But yeah, I see it, and like, cause I went to go watch. Well, I went to read it first. I was like, oh, it's a nightmare. So I kind of was like, okay, but let me watch it myself. And I'm like, I see it, and I'm like, well, I could see how someone can get confused because she's just there. She's like, and all of a sudden she's in the closet screaming, and they're like, what's going on or whatever, and everyone's freaking. So it doesn't really tell you, like you said, when you see, you know, what we're getting to next, when she's out there getting her costume, where we meet what's her name, Tina. Tina and Rachel, and Tina's character was supposed to be Tommy Doyle's the chick that's with
Lindsay.
Yeah, Lindsay. That's who that you know, they were supposed to have like all these connections and shit, but they didn't ended up doing it after all. But that would have been pretty cool. But anyway, so that's where we meet Tina, and I don't think she's in the film after that, but we do meet her. She might be somewhere here or there, but anyway, we meet her, and she's there like, oh, well, let me just go drop you off at this store where her love interest, Brady, the guy that she has to cancel, you know, on because she has to babysit or whatever. So, you know, what's her name? Jamie's all like, well, can we stop at the Halloween store and then get ice cream after? And she's like, sure. So, yeah, that's where we meet, you know, we meet Brady and that fine-ass chick with the big tits that's nowhere near a teenager. She's like, she looks way older than a teenager. She looks like she's like in her late 20s.
And you see fucking Review Bra's much older brother with the blonde mullet go up to her and try to holler at her.
Yeah, the one that tells him, fuck off, Wayne, or some bullshit, right? That's the one.
That's him.
Yeah, and what's it called? Her name's Kelly, right? Her name's Kelly. Yeah, she's fine as fuck, that chick. Huge, perfect.
Kelly Meeker.
Yeah. Kelly, yeah, she's fucking hot as fuck, dude. I saw her and I was like, huh? I'll get my ass over. And she's the daughter of the Sheriff Meeker. What was I going to say? Is that Sheriff in part two? Or part five, I mean? Is he?
He is.
He is, right? Okay, because I was like, I couldn't remember if it's the same guy because I watched part four, really loved it, completely forgot about it once I watched part five. But what was I going to say? So anyway, my whole point was when we get to the story, we meet everyone. That's when we see that Jamie's basically having these hallucinations where she sees Michael Myers everywhere and she like breaks this glass and whatever. She gets the same outfit that Michael had in the first.
She's young Michael Myers when he had killed his sister in that same outfit, and she gets scared of that. But and then the movie, again, it fools the audience because everyone gets away from the broken mirror. But in the broken mirror, you see.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, like, if he's there, right? Like, if he's still there, kind of like, I don't think you've seen it, but Poltergeist 3, where, like, the guy Kane, he's in the mirror, so you're like, wait a minute, is Michael real? Because, yeah, there's, like, a lot of, like, fake-outs, because, like you said, she's hallucinating, but why are we as an audience seeing Michael Myers, you know, in a broken mirror reflection after everyone's gone?
Yeah.
Like, because is that, like, the ghost aspect that maybe they were trying to keep in the film? Because if they did, I thought that would have been pretty badass, you know what I mean?
Which is going to get me to some commentary I have on the part five of podcast when we do that.
Yeah, no, but I saw that and I was like, I thought that was freaky. Whenever you see like shit like that, like, you know, very specific shit like that anyway. But after that, you know, what's her name, Rachel tells Brady, the guy with the most over-ass eyebrows in the history of the business. He looks like a lion, right? Like his like face, it kind of looks like a lion's face or
it
whatever.
It does. And I mean, but He's like the cool, good-looking dude, you know, in high school, and she wants to be with it. She's all worried about being desperate by going over. Now, she takes the time to, in person, go to him, tell him, hey, I'm sorry, I have to get, gives a legit reason why, sees the little girl that she's going to be babysitting, kisses him and grabs him. I mean, shit, I wish a girl had canceled a date with me when I was in high school and kissed me and grabbed me beforehand.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
And he gets all mad. He's like, and when did you find this out? This morning? This morning? And you're just telling me now it's 5 o'clock. You know, I would have been like, oh, that sucks. You know, that's all right. You're like, what are you going to get mad for? Like, I mean, what is she supposed to do? You know what I mean? What's the big deal, dude? You're like, yeah. But after that.
She's going to pursue an investigation with her parents and make sure the real babysitter broke her leg. I mean, what's
Exactly. It's like, okay, she's there. Like you said, she's there with the little girl getting the thing she has to. Okay, so like, all right, that, you know, that's cool. Did you want me to go with you trick-or-treating something? But he's like, he just wants to, of course, he just wants to score and shit. So it's like, you know, he's, that's all he's thinking about. Which is funny because they go trick-or-treating, you know, Rachel and Jamie, because of course she's like afraid of Halloween because she knows like who Michael Myers is and like blah, 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 that
And the kids at school are teasing her, and they're calling her, your uncle's the boogeyman, and they said, hey, did your mom make you a Halloween costume? No, because your mom said, okay, first of all, if her mom is Laurie Strode, nothing in this movie has outright said that her mom is dead. Like, the kids think this, apparently she thinks this, but, like, what tells us that Laurie Strode has been killed?
I don't think they actually say exactly, but I know in the film, I don't know if I read it, that she was, like, died in a car wreck or something. I don't know if they actually directly say it. I mean, I don't remember if they do, but I know that's supposed to be the thing, is that, oh, she died in a car wreck, you know.
And so then they changed their mind about her dying in a car wreck when they decided to make H2O?
Yeah, with that one, it was like, oh, she faked her death to protect, it's not supposed to connect with part 4 and 5, but they're like, oh, she did that in case Michael's trying to follow her or whatever, and she starts her new life, from what I remember, because they show, like, clips of newspaper. We'll get to it soon, Jay. We just have 5, 6, and then we're going to get to it. So we got plenty of time to talk about H2O and how over that shit is or not over. But, yeah, with this one, they go trick-or-treating, and Rachel busts Brady. She goes to the sheriff's house, you know, where Kelly's at. And old Brady's walking down the stairs. He's like, Rachel. And they have that awkward, like, thing. Like, motherfucker, you know, if this chick you were going to go out on a date with is taking her daughter her niece trick-or-treating, and you're there by the door at some other chick's house, you better stay way the fuck away from that front door, you know?
I'm like, why are you going to – I mean, be in a place where you can see the front door but that they can't see you.
Yeah, I was like, what a dumbass. Anyway, so yeah, he's all like, what, you know, all this and that. And it's funny because like that other chick's just like, just as horny as he is or whatever, because he goes out there, runs for Rachel, and then she's like, Brady, are you gonna come inside or whatever? I was like,
oh man.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I mean, fuck, and now poor Brady's ruined. Well, not poor Brady, because he's a dumbass, but any chance he was going to have something that would have been good with Rachel, now that's gone, because she's seen what the fuck, you're just a whore hopper, you know, going to the next one that's going to lay you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's when, after all that bullshit, I mean, skipping it, you know, we actually haven't talked about Michael that much, and we've talked about everything else, but so in between all this bullshit, like you had mentioned in the beginning, like Michael goes to a mechanic shop and he's got that invisible man gimmick. He kills the mechanic and takes his shit, and that's where Dr. Loomis sees him. He's like, Michael, don't go to Haddonfield, Michael. That little girl, you know, leave her alone. And then he's like, damn you, and starts shooting at the fucking, and Michael's gone. Like, he teleports into the fucking tow truck and drives off of there. So we forgot about that. But he doesn't kill anyone once he gets to Haddonfield. Or does he? I'm trying to remember. I know, like, all that shit happens, and then was this the film? Yeah, this is the one. This is the one with the rednecks going crazy and everything. Okay, so now I'm trying to. Sorry, folks. I watched part 4 and 5, and I like whenever I do that, like I'll forget about the especially this film because it's connecting with part 5. So yeah, they go there, and it's pretty funny because there's like a power station or whatever you want to call it, And that one guy's like, hey, you know, what are you doing here? And like the guys, like Michael just stands there and he's like, you better not go anywhere because I'm calling the cops or whatever. And then Michael like teleports again. Like he takes two steps and he's like right there with the guy and he ends up throwing him against the power lines.
Don't try that Halloween shit with me, pal.
Yeah, he does that bullshit. So, you know, he does get a kill in, like, with, you know, doing that crap.
And I like that. That's what's supposed to go on is shit like that. I like that scene.
Oh, you know, I really enjoyed this film. I mean, like, it was a bunch of shit like that the entire film with Michael. I think he looked like shit. Like, I don't know if you noticed it because it's more towards the end. Because I know they had two different guys play Michael Myers. There was one dude, but I think it's the guy that's playing him in the second half. Like, they put some kind of, like, I don't know, stuffing in his body, and he just looks all awkward, dude, especially, like, when he's, like, in the back of the truck and shit at the end of the film. But
this is Aaron Preston and Michael and George Wilbur.
Tom Morga. He's the guy.
Aaron Preston's the kid.
Tom Morga. He plays Jason and Michael Myers in Friday the 13th 5. So he was the Michael. I keep on saying Michael Myers. He's the Jason Voorhees in 5. So I was like, oh, it's Tom Morga, the same guy. That's why he looks so badass, you know, in the gas station scenes. Because I was like, he looks completely different compared to the one after all those scenes. You know, at least to me, he did, or it stood out.
Imagine that, the tie-in between two horror franchises of the 80s.
Yeah, you imagine being a guy that plays. Well, it's not even. You can't say he played Jason Voorhees because technically he wasn't Jason Voorhees in 5.
Right. So, he was the dad whose son got game. He was mad about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Forget it, Vic. Forget it. And so all that bullshit happens. I like that the whole town kind of knows what's going on. They're not stupid, even though they're stupid. They're like, hold on, you know. And I think they get some kind of like. Some kind of news thing about it or something, but it causes the rednecks to call.
The news is because, remember, Loomis tells Meeker, call the local news, have them tell the whole town to stay home and don't do anything. They see that at that redneck bar. They see that, and the guy, the bartender, who's like the smart one of the bunch, and he calls up Meeker, and Meeker tells him what's up, and then those guys all get in their fucking pickups and gun racks.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Yeah, they all go to – I forgot where they show up. I think they actually show up at Meeker's house, right? And they're like, what's going on? Because Jamie runs away or she gets freaked out. You know, she's – you know, of course, like – she has to get separated from Rachel, and they find her, and that's when they finally pull up. Like, don't tell me how they found Rachel and Jamie, you know, and Halloween night, you know, and all that bullshit. But they found her, and they take her back to the sheriff's house, and yeah, that's when they walk outside. He's like, "What's going on, sheriff?" He's all like, "Michael Myers is loose," and they're like, "What do you mean?" And that's when they go out there, like right away, they end up killing somebody by accident. They start shooting at the bushes. It's like.
Because these dumb, it's like, okay, you've got a town on paranoia over this dude from 10 years ago, and you think it's a good idea to dress up as Michael Myers and no sell it the whole time and just completely kayfabe it the whole time. And you know you're going to be in the crossfire if you do some bullshit like that. But you got this whole town full of dumbasses trying to be funny.
Yeah. So they have the house on lockdown, and you said that one of the sheriff, like, he starts giving Brady the business and has like one of his cops guarding the bottom floor or whatever the fuck.
Exactly. So yeah. So one of the guys, a blonde guy, I can't remember. I think it's like some Irish last name, but I don't remember. He has that guy guard the first floor of the house. Mm-hmm. You know, and Brady's up, and he's got Brady up in the attic, and he's got what's her name. I think his daughter up there too, and she's waiting on a signal to then give the word to someone else to let them know go. Now, Michael Myers again. Remember, he tells him the business. He's like, "And if I find out you put one finger on my daughter, I'm gonna use this on you." He fucking threatens with a shotgun, and I'm like, "Fucking A, man."
Yeah,
and man, that's the thing. Like the SJWs, the snowflakes today would never allow that shit in a movie today. But it's great. And then Michael Myers sneaks. He's in the house. Like he gets in. We don't know how he does it, but he just supernaturally gets in everywhere. And he fucking. We don't know this. What's her name? Goes downstairs. The daughter of Meeker goes downstairs. Or is it Brady that goes downstairs? Talks to him, thinking it's Blondie the cop guarding the place. And it's not. Blondie the cop is dead, and you just don't see it yet. It's Michael Myers sitting there with the cop in the cop uniform, the shotgun, and then boom, wreaks havoc, dead.
Yeah.
And then you see Blondie's head over somewhere else.
That's the thing, is like his head's like weird, at like a weird placement. That's all I remember. Because he's sitting there, and you're like, he's on the couch, or like his head's on the couch, or like it's in his arm. It's like a weird setup. What's her name? Kelly, like, finds, I don't know what happens to Kelly or whatever, but she ends up getting, like, impaled with the shotgun. I don't know if she sees the cop or whatever. And that's when Rachel and Jamie are upstairs, and they come down. I don't know if they hear anything, but that's when she sees Kelly against the wall.
That's right. It was Kelly who got it from him. And then remember, Brady is still there because he's there to try to fight off Michael Myers as he's coming up the staircase.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
that's
whole staircase scene. Like, I like the movie. I don't really mind it, but it was so stupid. Like, because he shoots twice. I don't know if he shot at Michael Myers or what he did, but he shot at something down there. And you hear,
I remember it vividly. Yeah.
Go ahead. What happens?
Here's what I remember, because I actually loved that scene. I was like, okay, here we go. This is what a Michael Myers movie should have in it. And I'm loving it while I'm watching this. I'm like, okay, Michael Myers is slowly coming up the stairs. I guess he has no sense of urgency.
He does it.
He doesn't have a sense of urgency. He knows he's going to fucking kill these people no matter what they try to do. But this fucking idiot, Brady, it's like he's taken 10 trillion years to load the fucking shotgun. It's like, fucking load it and go. And he yells at him like 5 times. He yells at Rachel and Jamie, get out of here. He yells at, okay, if I'm in that situation, I got this maniac, possibly supernatural dude who's killed everybody, and he's coming to kill me upstairs. I'm yelling at you 1 time, get the fuck away, and then I'm focusing with my shotgun and shooting your ass. I'm not going to tell you 5 times to get the fuck away. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you once, maybe twice, and then you're on your own, and I'm shooting this fucker.
Yeah, I'm like, why does he keep going? I'm like, dude, focus. Like, it's like the longest reload scene in fucking horror movie history, dude. Like, I like the fact Michael's walking up the stairs, and you got that suspense, but it's like, why aren't you backing up? Why aren't you trying to load up the shit? Like, he keeps on, like, I mean, how many times is he going to load the fucking thing? He might drop a shell here or there. And I'm just like, oh, my God. But anyway, he ends up killing Brady, like, just crushing his face or whatever the fuck. And they go up to the roof, and they escape through the roof and everything. And Rachel ends up falling down. Jamie ends up, like, running, and she runs into to Dr. Loomis, and then Loomis takes her to a school, I think it is, and that's,
yeah, they go to the school.
Yeah, and then that's when we see like Michael Myers with like a pink face and blonde hair, because like that's that according to the guy, the producers and everyone working on the film, that when they first started filming, they had gotten masks that were all like that, where like instead of white it was pink, and instead of brown hair it was blonde hair, and they just didn't. I guess I don't know how you overlook something like that. But I mean,
or
that's
how you overlook the positioning of the hairline.
Everything. It was pretty ridiculous. I'm like, man, things back then, like, I mean, they still make up, you know, have little mess ups here and there, but something so blatant, you're like, these guys really didn't like do a good job. Because when you're seeing a movie, you know, like, okay, you know, your job as an editor or whatever, or director, let me see how this movie looks. And you're like, hey, dude, on this scene, like, his hair doesn't match the rest of the movie. We got to fix something, you know? It's like, I don't know how you can overlook that bullshit, but when Michael's on top of the roof, do you see him with, like, that ridiculous outfit where he just looks funny? If anyone's seen the film, You know what I'm talking about. When you see him on there, it looks like he's wearing, like, stuffing in his outfit or whatever the fuck.
And that's another thing about that scene. When he's on the roof, it's like, okay. Fucking Jamie almost gets lynched in the process of coming down the roof because she's on that cable.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, and I just saw Blondie Cop's head right now. I have it off in the distance. But, and then there's fucking Kelly getting hung on the door. Anyway.
Ben Tramer,
yep. So here's the thing, like, he's on the roof, and then it's a two-story house with an attic, so that makes it almost three. Suddenly, in 2 seconds, he's down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? Can you explain that to me?
Oh, I know. It that's the way this film is. Like I told you, when he was, like, trying to go ahead and get that one guy at the electric company, I'm like, the guy's, like, we can see how much distance away from him and Michael, you know, there is. And then Michael literally takes one or two steps. The guy, like, turns around because he hears the step from a good 30 feet, I would assume. And Michael, like, comes out from, like, the side view of him. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, you know, it's continuity errors. It's, like, they don't give a fuck. It's supposed to be Michael being this fucking, you know, supreme master of the world. And, you know, I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. Like, it would be okay if they were like, okay, Michael's supernatural, but they never really say any. We're still supposed to believe that Michael's just a man. You know, that part of it, that's assuming that you think he's still a man or whatever the fuck, you know, all that bullshit.
You're right, though. They leave it to the audience to try to figure on their own to figure out there's more than humanity to this guy. This guy has some kind of spiritual element that's driving him to have these powers.
Yeah, because it's like he gets shot, and how many times can you get fucking shot and just keep moving? I don't care who you are, you know what I mean? You're not Jason Voorhees. Like, even Jason, like, he doesn't get shot in films till, I mean, if he does, probably the later ones, but it's like he gets stabbed, and I mean, you can believe someone gets stabbed and they survive, but it's like this motherfucker's getting shot, like, multiple times, like, especially at the ending. But anyway, so the funniest part, like, you know, we're talking about teleporting, is, like, all the rednecks are driving back, right? They're all driving back, and with Rachel. I forgot how they pick up Rachel and Jamie, but they're like, oh, okay, you know, they're taking a ride back home with her or whatever. They're taking them back home after all that bullshit with the school or whatever. And I think they just pick them up, like, you know, they're driving around. We still see them.
What happens there is because, remember, they went to the school on their own with Loomis. And then Rachel fights him. Rachel fights him off with the fire extinguisher, which is just, oh, my God. That's the first time I ever saw someone get real offense on Kane. I think it was Vader using a fire extinguisher on him. And then so we can see where the Kane gimmick came from. But then, yeah, the redneck truck drivers, those guys all pile up at the school. So I think they get a ride at the school with one of the truckers.
Yeah, but they start escaping, or they're leaving town or heading back to town. I don't know where they're going, but they're, like, they're taking off, and the cops meet them, like, halfway. They're like, you escaping? They're like, yeah. And they're all there. There's, like, three guys in the back of the truck. There's the guy,
black sheriff deputy that talks to him.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. So they're driving. And then all of a sudden, we see Michael climbing from the back of the cab, like, onto the truck. I'm like, where the fuck did he come from? Was he underneath the truck? I mean, that's the only thing I could think of, you know. And he comes over there. And, like, I laugh because he, like, throws everyone off the back of the truck. Like, all three dudes, like, kills them all easily. Reaches one hand through the window, breaks the glass, like, rips that guy's throat open. And then Rachel starts driving, and, like, all of a sudden he's having trouble hanging on. Yeah, and, you know,
she's
all that.
Swerving the fuck out of the truck trying to get him off, and he's holding on to both door frames.
Yeah, and she runs him over, and then she falls off, and then she runs him over into the fucking, like, wherever. It's like a field or graveyard, and that's where the sheriffs and the whole police force damn near show up, luckily. You know, Jamie gets close to him and grabs his hand or some bullshit. I guess because she still has that uncle connection. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the gimmick. But
like they shoot the fuck out of him. He's on the ground and he's still holding on the knife. And this dumbass little 8-year-old girl thinks it's a good idea to go over and, like, touch him.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, are you dumb, Jamie? You're like, this guy's been, like, he's been trying to kill you for the entire film. You're running, and now you're going to go touch him. Like, what the fuck? Who, you know, like, I mean, that's just, to me, it was just dumb as far as, like, little parts. Like, I enjoyed the film, but there was a lot of stupid shit like that.
Okay, I'll tell you a story. Like, this is how much, like, I don't have anywhere near the kind of courage movie characters have. Because, like, okay, because my forte is 90s wrestling. So, like, I was 8 years old in 1991. And I see Sid in WCW on that Saturday morning show where it's no storylines, it just matches.
Yeah.
And he's, like, killing these little 5'9" dudes, and he's 6'9". And he's, like, they get carried out on stretchers, and he chases after the stretcher and pushes them off the stretcher and then starts stomping their ass. And I'm, like, and he, like, never lost. And I was, like, I was scared to die. Like, I thought wrestling was real, and I was, like, oh, my God. I was, like, Sid's going to come to San Antonio and, like, start killing everybody. And, like, I was scared to death. And, like, you couldn't have even fathomed me going up to somebody who tried to kill me at age 8. And this fucking little girl is doing this.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the problem there? But, yeah, he gets up. And they're like, get down or duck or whatever. And they end up shotgun, pistol, rifle, every damn gun they have. Blow the fuck out of Michael Myers, and he falls into the fucking it's a pit or a well or whatever. And then that's it. We're like, okay. You know, that's how we're doing things now. And I'm like, wow, you know. And again, it's you know, I talked about it earlier. They have a lot of things that are connecting with the old films. Well, that's how Michael dies in the first one, that he falls off the second story and he falls down. And then, like, at least that one, though, they're like, oh, he's gone or whatever. But this one, we don't know what the fuck happens to him.
And but we know that the next movie, we're going to see an indention mark of his body.
Yeah, exactly. So this film ends, you know, pretty badass. They're back home, and then we see, like, someone looking through a mask, and at least for me, when I first saw it, I was like, oh shit, Michael Myers is back. But it's actually, you know, Jamie in her clown outfit. It's not exactly like the one Michael wears, but it's supposed to be similar, you know, for us to at least to be. And just like the first one, you know, she ends up she kills her foster mom, which they retroactively change. We'll talk about. But mm-hmm. I love the way this one ended, because you're like, wow, I was really looking forward to what was going to happen with this ending. Because, yeah, Dr. Loomis kind of like, he understands, like, what the fuck. And it's a lot like the Friday the 13th 5 ending, too. We've been mentioning 5 a lot with Tom Morga. But you know how Tommy Jarvis is supposed to be the killer when Pamela, I think her name is, goes into his room to check on him. And he's behind the door with the knife and the Jason mask. Same thing with this one. And Dr. Loomis sees it's Jamie with, like, the scissors, and he's like, no! Ah!
Ah! He's screaming like a man possessed, or like someone who got a fake friend request, and he just I got the gun, and he's just ready to go off on a little girl, and fucking Meeker has to...
Yeah. It's fucked. It's fucked up. Like, why is he trying to shoot her? Like, at least a little girl. Talk down to her. Like, talk her down, right? But Loomis, like, he's just ready to start shooting, dude.
Loomis, like, is a hardcore believer in the evil that this man Michael Myers is, and he just thinks that he can't do enough to protect society from the evils of this man.
Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. Chris, just what's your overall thoughts, your rating, dude? I mean, you know, what's your final words on this film? You know, I always like to let it all out there when we're talking about these movies, because, we may talk about them again, but not the way we're doing it today in depth. Just, I mean, how'd you feel about Halloween 4, man? How you feeling day one?
Out of 10, I'm going to give it a 6.5. And again, it's like I said, it's not a bad movie, but it's just it leaves a lot to be desired. And just for me, and you know this from talking to me a million fucking times about this type of shit. With me, when I sit down and I watch a horror movie, I want it to be the kind of like one-to-one creeping people out, stalking people, haunting people, confronting them one-to-one, and like it's a scary supernatural force they can do little about and that kind of thing, and like, or like it's the unknown and the fear of the unknown and all that shit, like, and that's the shit that gets into my head, makes me want to sleep with lights on, makes me nervous when I wake up and go get a glass of water because of the shitty 1980 floor plan that my apartment is, you know, and like that, that's the kind of shit I look for with a scary movie. You know, you got to get in my head and make me think, man, what if this was happening to me? You don't think that with this. It's not that type of scary movie. It's the kind of scary movie of, here's the known villain who once did that type of shit. But now, it's just the whole town is stirred up. And he's going around killing people in the town. And the whole town is in this concerted effort to fight him. But it's not one-on-one stalking. It's not one-on-one scaring and killing people in a confined setting. It's not any of that. It's I mean, if we know who he is, it's not unknown. So it's just it's not scary in the sense of getting in your head, making you afraid. It's a slasher villain, and he's out in the open, and everyone is trying to do something to him.
Okay, all right. For me, I mean, as far as rating goes, I'm gonna have to give it an 8 out of 10. I really like the film. I don't love it like, oh my god, but I really, really like the film. It's a fun film. It's one of those, it's like a true, you can watch it every Halloween. If you're going to watch 31 movies for Halloween, yeah, this will probably be one to watch. Again, like, I liked it way better than Part 2. I liked it almost as much as Part 3, but because, I mean, I love Tom Atkins, dude. That much, and then, of course, Ellie and all the fucking that's going on with that. Like, this film was fun. It's actually, like, a lot more fun than the original, but the original has all the creepy factor that you love to talk about and him stalking. So it's hard to say, you know, which is better because, well, I have more fun with this one. But if I want to be scared or, like, you know, if you put on Halloween, you know, you turn off the lights. You know, that's the setting I love to talk about. You turn off the lights. It's late at night. You put on Part One, it's just you and the only lights coming from the TV. Part One's going to fuck with you because you see Michael, you know, behind, you know, sheets and shit like that, or behind bushes. And, like, you start looking out your own window saying, like, is there somebody out there, you know? This film doesn't do that, right? But it it's a completely different Michael Myers. It's not the same Michael Myers from the first one. I don't think any of the films captured the first one. They try to, you know, emulate it, but nothing was like the first one, of course, because John Carpenter's, you know, a master at what he does and sets the tone and everything. I like the characters. I liked, you know, how Rachel's character's arc got better throughout the film. I love Jamie in this film. It's one of those to where, like, okay, we're doing something different, like the way Christian is in Part 3, where you get introduced to a new character, you like her as much as the original with Nancy, or in this case it would have been Laurie Strode. So it's like, okay, we're continuing the story. We have the new character we're supposed to be into, and I really enjoyed it. The only thing I didn't like, the thing that brings it down, is that Michael looked like shit. Michael looked like shit. The over the topness, I can you know, look past, because it's just fun. You know, he can teleport all he wants, the same way, you know, Jason started doing it in 4, 5, and 6. You know, just teleport Jason. So, good film, fun film. Would watch again. Dwight, before I forget, Dwight Little is the guy that directed it and wrote it. I don't think he did the sequel, but we'll get to that anyway. Hope you guys enjoyed Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, and we'll go ahead and see you guys on the next one for Part 5.
Peace.